John chapter 8 and verse number 12. The light of the world is Jesus. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, please, that you illuminate us, Lord, through the scriptures. We mentioned in Sunday school, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And Lord, ultimately what it does is leads us to the one who is the light of the world. And so, Lord, what a good week it's been. And Lord, not without challenges, and Lord, not without valleys. But thank you, dear God, that there is a consistency, Lord, in our life, and that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would fasten our eyes this morning, Lord, on him, and help us, dear Lord, to know what we should do, dear God, in the way that we should walk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. One of the most wonderful studies, if you just like studying the Bible, one of the most wonderful studies is a study in the book of John on the I ams. Jesus, from time to time, would use that phrase. Matter of fact, when they went to arrest him in the garden, they said that they were seeking Jesus of Nazareth, and his answer was, I am, I am. And the Bible says that the soldiers fell backwards at his word. You know, that reminds us of what God said to Moses when he met him at the burning bush. And he said, who will I say sent me? And he said, I am that I am. What was Jesus saying in the garden? He was saying, I am God. A study of the I ams. To complete that study, you would study also where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He also said, I am the door. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the true vine. He said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What a wonderful study, the I ams of the Gospel of John. Here we find one to add to the list. Jesus says here, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now look back, if you will, at John chapter 8. There's two phrases I want to draw your attention to. First of all, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, here it is, I am the light of the world. But notice also, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have, watch this, what kind of light is it? The light of life. The light of life. Let me just give you some points here as we preach on this verse and on this subject. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus provides the light of life, the light of life. There's two contrasting ways here in this verse. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Here's a fair question. Are you walking in darkness or are you walking in the light of life? What do you mean, preacher? What I'm saying is this. When you come to Jesus and accept him as your Savior, you're heading into a whole new way of living, a whole new way of walking. You are delivered from darkness into light. Years ago, I went hunting, and actually it was over near where Brother Bo's house used to be. And he had secured permission from a neighbor, and I'd been looking for some new places to go hunting. He said, I've got a place I used to go years ago. And at this time, he was battling cancer, and he said, preacher, I can't go back as far as I used to, but let me talk to my neighbor friend, and I think he'd give you permission. And so I went to a brand new place, scouted it out, went back there and hung a stand or two, and decided I would hunt that place. Now, folks, let me just say something. The woods looks entirely different at night than it does in the daytime. And so the first opportunity that I had to actually hunt the property was an afternoon hunt. I had gone during the day and I'd hung my stands. I'd gone during the day and scouted the piece of property. I had to walk almost a mile and a quarter back to where I was hunting. Well, I decided I would go hunting the first time in the afternoon and hunt till dark. And when I hunt till dark, I will tell you this, I hunt till dark. Because that last 10 minutes of light, you guys know this that are deer hunters, you don't want to leave the stand too early. Made that mistake a couple of times, got about halfway down the tree only to see a deer come walking right to me. If you still have light to shoot, you ought to be up there ready to go. Now that sounds good. unless you're hunting in a property that you've never hunted before and the first time, and you've only scouted it during the day and hung the stands during the day. But I had paid attention, and I thought that I'd be able to pick out some landmarks and get my way out of there. But it was a moonless night. Now, stay with me. We're going to come back to it. It was a moonless night. And you know what? It was a cloudy night. I couldn't even see the stars. And when dark descended way back, a mile and a quarter from the road, when dark descended, it descended. And by the time I'd climbed down and got ready to go, I mean, literally, it was about as dark as I've ever been out in the woods. And I thought to myself, this is going to be interesting. And so I picked out the rim of a hill, and I could still see a little bit of it. And I walked that direction, and then it got darker. And somehow I thought I was following alongside this hill, and I apparently wasn't. You know, you just step around a tree, you step around a bush, you step a little bit here, and next thing you know, you can think you're going this way, and you're going this way. And all of a sudden, I'm walking through terrain that seems very unfamiliar. And I'm going down into a holler, and I'm thinking, I don't remember this coming in. And all of a sudden, I got down and out in the middle of this woods, and I mean dark as can be, and I absolutely had that realization. And no outdoorsman wants to admit this, okay? Nobody wants to admit that you're lost, especially if you're a guy. You almost refuse to admit it. And so I decided that, you know, I'd keep going, and the farther I went, the more it seemed unfamiliar. And then I did what I was taught in Boy Scouts to do, and that's you stop, amen? Don't make it worse. And so I kind of stopped a minute there, and I thought to myself, you know what? There's a real possibility I'm going to spend the night out here. I'm hunting this new piece of property. Nobody came back here with me. Nobody knows where my stands are. Nobody knows really where I'm at, except Brother Bo kind of knows the general woods. But I very well could be spending the night out here. And say, did you get worried or whatever? You know, no, I just thought I'll be comfortable. Honestly, it doesn't bother me a lot as far as staying in the woods, but it wasn't the most pleasant thought that I'd be there all night. Mostly worried about my wife and worried about what she was going to be thinking and, you know, whether or not she'd be at home going through the files looking for life insurance policies or what exactly she would be doing during this time. And so I just kind of stopped. And then, you know, part of me's like, I'm not going to spend the night in the woods. You know, come on. I mean, you know, I've got to make an effort here. And so I did the best I could to try to get my bearings back, backtrack best I could, and still got turned. And I still knew I wasn't going the right way, but I was walking along. And I got on top of the crest of a little hill. And when I did, way off in the distance, first of all, those of you that have been walking through the woods at night, and if there is a security light, okay, on somebody's house or somebody that's a long way off, if you're walking, what you think that is a flashlight, okay? Because as you're walking, the light seems to be moving. Because you're walking, and as you're walking, trees go in between it and limbs come in between it. And I thought, good, somebody has decided they're going to come rescue me. And there's a flashlight, and it's way, way away, but somebody's coming. And I noticed something, though. Every time I walked, they walked. Every time I stopped, they stopped. And finally, I figured out that's not a flashlight. That's got to be some type of a security light. That's somebody's light that's attached to their garage or out in their pasture by the barn or something. Now, folks, let me just say this. I was sure glad to see that light. Because, you know what, even though I didn't know north from south and east from west, I knew one thing. If there was light, there was help. Are you listening to me this morning? If there was light, there was help. And what'd you do, preacher? You know what I did? I got my bearings very specifically. I was going to have to go up and down some hollers, and I wouldn't always see the light. But I knew this. If I just kept walking towards the light, sooner or later, I'd find my way out of that woods. I had parked on a road that ran east and west. And when I came out, I was actually on a road that ran north and south, which was telling you how far off I was. But I made it to a road. Now, I want to talk to you about that. You know, nothing, honestly, is more discouraging, and I think nothing brings people more to despair than just to spend day after day after day of your life walking in spiritual darkness. And you know what? Preacher, I've had people just look at me and say, preacher, I just feel like I'm lost. And they weren't talking about their eternal state, their spiritual state. They were just talking about life in general. One of the things that I've tried to say often here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is this. If you are trying to live your life without the Lord, you're living it in a way that God never intended you to live. And by the way, you're trying to live in a way that you're not equipped to be successful. You're just not equipped to be successful. You know what? Let the heathen rage and the wicked imagine a vain thing. Let them say what they want to, but mankind needs God. Every one of us needs the Lord. And one of the reasons we need him is because of the light that he provides us. Jesus provides us the light of life. Preacher, what's the difference between being lost and being saved? Is there never a valley? No, I had to walk through some valleys. Is there never a time that you lose track of the light? No, there's times when, you know what, watch this, folks. You may lose track of God from time to time, but he's never going to lose track of you. You may not always see him, but he always sees you. And you know what? I think I mentioned this just recently, but a man came to my office and just said, "Preacher, I'm a simple person. I need simple instruction, and my life's not going well. And I just, what can you give me as advice?" And I said this: get up every morning, read your Bible. Get up every morning and pray. He was a Christian man. And I said this: you find Jesus every morning, and then you head his direction. Now, that may seem an oversimplification of life, but I don't think it is. Find Jesus and just head his direction. You know what? There's a lot of people that are lost and they get a glimpse of the light. But you know what? They decide that, no, you know what? I'm not going to use that light to get out of this darkness. I'm just going to figure it out on my own. And you know what? They walk away from the light and sometimes never have an opportunity again to see the light. And let me just say this morning, if I can just, you know, maybe give you the message right now. I hope that I'm just going to point you to Jesus this morning and say, there's the light. And if you're lost as far as your spiritual state, you've never been saved, then head towards the light. If you're a Christian, but you know what, you're confused and the devil's got you turned around and switched around and this old world's got you beat down, then what I'm saying is head towards the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, he provides the light of life. Let me say this, not only does he provide you eternal life when you get saved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not only does he provide you everlasting life and eternal life, but he helps you in this life. He says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So yes, we have eternal life, but Jesus wants to give us also, he wants to give us also an abundant life, a light of life. Say, preacher, what's the context of this verse when Jesus spake these words? Well, let's back up to the last 11 verses, if you will. John chapter number 8, verse number 1. Sadly, this story was stricken in some of the early manuscripts, because I think that those church fathers or those church elders were worried that it might send the wrong message. But let me say this, a writer message has never been sent. Don't decide what part of the Bible you think applies to you and what you don't think applies to you. Just read it all and believe it all. Let's read the story. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. By the way, let me just say this. I just got to stop and say this. This is an abominable group of people. You know, here they're using a woman and her sin. They didn't bring her to Jesus because they wanted to see her helped. They didn't want to bring her to Jesus even really truly because they wanted to see her punished. They were using her in such a way just to try to bait him and tempt him and bring accusation against him. What they were basically saying was, the law of Moses says this, what are you saying? And trying to get him in a situation where he would contradict the law of Moses. And so they weren't concerned about this woman. But let me say this, Jesus was concerned about this woman. Jesus cared about this woman. You know what? You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done in my life. I know this, you haven't ever fallen far enough away where the grace of God can't reach down and get you. And let me just say this, Jesus loves you where you're at. Oh, preacher, good night. If you knew the story of my life, if you knew every chapter, if you knew every paragraph, you wouldn't even want me here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. Let me just say, look right up here. That's absolutely not true. This church is not a place where perfect people gather so we can stare and look around and admire each other's perfectness. That's not what we do here. This is a spiritual hospital where sinners come to be saved. And then, you know what? Those of us that are saved by grace, we're still sinners saved by grace. We come to get help. This is a place of light. And it teaches us how to walk in the light of life. And so here's the story. Let's read on. This they said, verse 6, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And boy, there's so many things we could teach here. Folks, listen to me. Not everybody that asks a question or not everybody that tries to engage you in conversation, not everything everybody says is worthy of an answer. You know, have you ever said to yourself, I'm not going to dignify that remark with a reply? Jesus wasn't going to dignify their remark with a reply. He stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Much speculation has been made as far as what he wrote. I don't know. He may have been doodling for all I know. I have no idea what he wrote on the ground, but he wrote something. And verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. How about that? How about that? He said, I'll tell you what, you want this woman stoned to death? I want to give the privilege to the perfect person. I want to give that privilege to the person who's never done anything wrong. You're the one that ought to have the first shot because of your perfectness, your perfection. You ought to have this first shot. You ought to throw the first stone. And so that's the way Jesus handled it. Boy, the wisdom of Christ, the wisdom of Christ. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, some of the ones that wanted to strike this story from the early manuscripts was worried that maybe the story would in some way convey the fact that Jesus was in agreement with her act of adultery, that it wasn't sinful, that it was okay. But you know what? We read on and know that that's not true. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemn thee? She said, no man, Lord, no man. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Here it is, go and what? Sin no more. And so it wasn't the idea of Jesus saying, hey, your lifestyle's okay, your lifestyle's fine. He's saying this, you know what? You can live a life that's different from now on. You've met the light of the world. There is the light of life. Hey, lady, you've been walking in darkness. But you know what? There's the light of life. And Jesus, I believe, changed this woman's life. I believe she saw him for who he was. No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now watch this, folks. I say this often. You know what? Here we are at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Anybody that walks in the door, no matter where you are in life, we welcome you, we accept you, we love you. But let me say this, folks. This is a place where lives are being and have been transformed. And you know what? You can't have interaction with Jesus Christ on a regular basis. You can't have interaction with the Bible on a regular basis without it having a transforming effect on your life. And so Jesus said, you've met the light of the world. Let me teach you to walk in the light of life. Jesus provides that light of life. Here's the question, shotgun straight. Here it is. Are you saved this morning? Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you've been born again? Can you go back along the timeline of your life and in your memory, can you find that place where you fell under conviction of sin? And you know what? You felt the drawing of the Father. And you had an understanding of the gospel and what Jesus had done, his death on the cross for your sins, his burial, his resurrection. And can you look back at a time when in simple, childlike faith, you called out to Jesus Christ and asked him to be your Savior? If you can find that spot, let me say this, you are saved, you are saved, you are saved, you are saved, you are saved. Say, preacher, I'm looking down the timeline of my life. I don't have that reference point. I don't have that place. Why don't you nail it down this morning? Why don't you just say, I'm not going to leave this place. I may have walked in lost, but I'm not leaving lost. I may have walked in here on my way to hell, but I'm walking out of here on my way to heaven. And you know what? At the end of this message, we'll give a gospel invitation. If you'd like to come, we'll have people that are skilled and trained to take the scripture and explain carefully to you salvation, the simpleness of salvation. And you know what? You can accept Christ as your Savior today. Number one, Jesus provides the light of life. Number two, Jesus was the light of the world while he was in the world. Flip over, if you will. You may be on the same page, but look at John chapter 9, the next chapter, verse number 6. John chapter 9, verse number 6. Brother Reiser, it's warm in here. You want to check the air conditionings and see if we've got them on or down far. How many of you are warm? How many of you are cold? How many of you are comfortable? Well, we've got a special system built in to our church. And when he does what he's about to do, every single place where somebody's sitting, it regulates whether you're cold, hot, or comfortable. And if you're comfortable, it won't change anything. If you're hot, it will cool you down. If you're cool, it will heat you up. And so you'll be just fine. John chapter 9, verse number 1. Say, is that true? Absolutely not. I want to confess the sin of lying before I continue my message. Amen. John chapter 9. And verse number 5, watch this. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Look at verse number 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, folks, we're going somewhere. Okay, watch this. Jesus provided the light of life. While Jesus was in the world, he declares himself the light of the world. What an amazing statement. I am in the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, let me ask you an honest question, a simple question. Is Jesus still in this world? Is he still walking amongst us? Is he still followed by 12 disciples? Is he still healing the sick? Well, according to the Bible, we've seen that when John looked into heaven, he saw that Jesus sat on the right hand of the Father. I know that God is omniscient. I know Jesus is omniscient, but he's not here the way he was here for that amount of time, that brief period in the Gospels. And so he's no longer the light of the world because he's no longer in the world. Now stay with me. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now stay with me there because we're going somewhere with this. Notice this amazing statement. Notice the context of this statement. Once again, we have somebody that's blind, somebody that can't see. Here we saw an adulterous woman, and you know what? She was taken in sin in the very act, and she needed to discover the light of the world. She needed to learn to walk in the light of life. Here we see a blind man, and again, he can't see, and you know what? The questions ask about his sin, his parents' sin. Jesus said this, Noah, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And then he says this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, I brought you those two statements because I want to focus in on where we're going now. Go back to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Stay with me now. Matthew chapter number 5. Jesus provides the light of life. Jesus was the light of the world while he was in the world. Now, let me give you number 3 and then we'll study the scriptures. Look at this. Matthew chapter 5. We'll prove it out. Here we are. Number 3, Jesus hands us the responsibility to be the lights of the world. Notice, if you will, in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Watch this. Ye are the light of the world. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Well, he also said this. He said, while I am the light of the world, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But watch this. He's training some disciples. He's getting ready some people. See, Jesus is going to have a short 3-year ministry. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to become our substitute. He's going to become our sacrificial substitute. He's going to go into a tomb and lay there for 3 days and 3 nights, then he's going to rise on the 3rd day. Watch this. He's going to have a 40-day ministry after he raises from the dead, and then he's going to ascend to heaven, and he's going to hand off to us the responsibility of providing light. Say, wait a minute, preacher. Is Jesus still the light of the world? Yes. But he says, we're the light of the world. Yes. How does that work? Stay with me here. Watch this. Let's just, first of all, let this sink in. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he turns around and says, ye are the light of the world. Now stay with me here. Remember I talked about the other I ams in John, in the book of John? Jesus said this, I am God, but when he left, he didn't say, ye are God. Jesus said this, I am the bread of life, but when he left, he didn't say, ye are the bread of life now. Now stay with me. He said, I'm the door. You know what? He didn't look at us and say, now you're the door. Okay? He didn't relinquish any of these things to us. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He didn't look at us and say, now you're the good shepherd. He said, I'm the true vine. He didn't look at us then and say, now you're the true vine. He said, I'm the resurrection. He didn't look at the disciples and said, now you're the resurrection. He said, I am the way. He didn't look at us and say, now you're the way. He said, I'm the truth. He didn't look at us, the disciples, say, now you're the truth. He said, I am the life. He didn't look at his disciples and said, I'm the life. So, hey, we better pay attention to this. Because you know what? In this one area, Jesus said, wait a minute. I am the light of the world. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But guess what? There's going to come a day that ye are the light of the world. You know, wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. If we can't be the God that Jesus was, and the bread that Jesus was, and the door that Jesus was, and the good shepherd that Jesus is, and the true vine, and the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. We can't be these things. Why did he think we'd have any chance of being the light? I'm going to show you. Stay with me. Watch this, all right? We're going to go all the way back to Genesis now. I like using the Bible. Genesis chapter number 1. Watch this. Genesis chapter number 1. All the way to verse number 1. Genesis 1:1, first book of the Bible, first chapter, first verse. Stay with me here. Preacher, how can we be the lights of the world? I mean, he put that responsibility on us. How do we do that? I'm going to teach you some things this morning. Stay with me. Jesus hands us the responsibility to be the lights of the world. Watch this. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So here we see the doctrine of God and the existence of God. We see the doctrine of creation. We see then the doctrine of separation. Verse number 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. Folks, you don't get very far into the Bible without understanding the doctrine of separation, the doctrine of sanctification. You know what? Jesus said right from the beginning, this is light and this is darkness. And the two will be separated from each other. One Christian in frustration once asked me, just preacher, how different from the world do you think we're? As light is from darkness. As different as light is from darkness. Now stay with me, watch this. We see the doctrine of separation, but notice if you will, let's jump down to verse number 14. The fourth day, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Now I want to show you how we can be the lights of the world. Now stay with me here. The sun is the greater light. We understand that. The moon is the lesser light. That's what he created on this, the fourth day. But let me ask you a question. The sun shines, yes or no? Does the moon shine? Now, some of you from Kentucky, you're getting thirsty right now, right? I just have to mention it, and I see you start licking your lips, all right? I didn't say, do you have moonshine? I said, does the moon shine? Does the sun shine, yes or no? I got about 4 people from Kentucky really mad at me. I told a Kentucky joke one time from the pulpit, and then I recognized visitors right after that. And we had one visitor that morning. She sat up on the back row, and I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm so like, where are you from? Kentucky. And so I've tried to stay away from Kentucky jokes ever since. And I haven't tried very hard, but I've tried a little bit to stay. All right. So does the sun shine? Does the moon shine? No, it does not. See, folks, the moon does not shine. The moon reflects the light of the sun. Reflects. Preacher, man alive, God's given us a huge responsibility. Yes. Yes, he has. He's given us a huge responsibility. You know what? The sun, the greater sun, rules the day. The lesser sun, the Bible says, rules the night, provides light in the nighttime. Hey, folks, let me ask you a question. Has it ever been darker than it is today? I'm going to tell you something. We live in dark days. We're having presidential candidates now. I mean, literally, shamelessly standing in front of microphones telling Christians you need to lay aside your strong biblical beliefs and strong religious convictions. Need to lay them, listen, they're in the way of what we're trying to get done. You need to lay them aside. These are dark days, dark day. I never thought I'd stand behind the pulpit in the good state of Indiana, the state of my birth. I never thought I'd live a day in Indiana where homosexual marriage was legal, but here we are. Here we are. Folks, darkness is all around us. Now stay with me, watch this. You know what? We've got a responsibility. We got a responsibility to reflect the light. The sun is the greater light. The moon is the lesser light. The moon is not a light, but a reflector of that great light. Now, what's happened? I believe, folks, that the world is getting darker not because the sun's not shining. It's not because God is diminished in any stretch of the imagination. It's not because God isn't as holy as he always was and as powerful and as loving. It doesn't mean any of those things. God has not diminished in the least. So what's the problem? The problem is that we're not reflecting the light. We're not reflecting the light. Now I'm going to see if I can give you young people a visual so that you can get this and see this and understand our responsibility. And I looked at the front here and I saw three young men, boom, 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 looking good. Ace especially seems very excited about the idea of maybe Pastor using him this morning. And so, Ace, I'm going to give you the simplest of the jobs. You come up here, okay? And Ace is going to be the son, all right? There you go, bud. I want you back right up to the baptistry. Put your back against there. And shine. Okay, shine a little brighter. There you go. Shine. He's shining. He's good, all right? There's the son, all right? Come here, earth. All right, come here, world. All right, here's the world. All right. Yeah, I got that right. Amen. Here we go. All right, let me have you just stand over here because you're about to... You're going to orbit around the sun in just a minute, okay? So just kind of stay there. All right, we're going to get him orbiting around the sun in just a minute. And then here's the moon here, all right? Yeah, amen, there it is. All right, now you're going to be right over here by the world, all right? Okay, and so we have the sun and the world and the moon. Okay, now, the world does a couple things. Okay, first of all, it rotates on its axis. So if you could just slowly, no, your whole body, just slowly. Not that fast, good night, takes 24 hours. All right, there you go. All right, that's about right. Okay, now, as it's doing that, it's moving also in orbit around the sun. So let's see if you can move this. There you go, here we go. All right. Amen. It looks that way when he's running to do his chores too. About the same. About as fast as he moves there. All right. Stop there. Are you okay? You're not dizzy? You're all right? Okay. All right. Now the moon comes over here. And the moon is going to then rotate around the world as he's rotating and moving. And so you got this, don't you? You know exactly what you're supposed to do. All right. Here we go. All right. So there you go. And... you've got to go around him. You got to get around him. All right, okay. Let's pick the speed up a little bit here. And whoa, world. The world's out of control. Let me stop you right there. I don't have my microphone, do I? You got it ready? No? You don't know where it's at? I know where it's at. It's sitting in my office. That's exactly right. Now, there's something to happen. Come here, Moon, a minute. I like it when I can... God gives preachers a lot of power. I can just yank the moon right out of orbit. But there's something. Watch this, folks. There's two different kinds of eclipses that happen. There's a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse. All right, science teachers, all you young people that just got out of school, you know this stuff. I know you know this stuff. A solar eclipse, as observed from the earth, a solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes in front of the sun. The type of solar eclipse event depends on the distance of the moon from the earth during the event. Watch this. Let me just tell you something that's sad. Folks, listen, watch this. We're the lesser light, and we can't shine, but we can reflect. Let me just give you something that I didn't even want to put this point in it, but you know what? It's valid, and it needs to be preached, and it's a warning to all of us. You know what's sad? Is the very object that God created to reflect the light of the sun to the world in this time of great darkness, come over here, at times can cause literally an eclipse because it gets right between the world and the sun. And all of a sudden, the world that's supposed to be seeing light reflected from the sun, instead, this moon literally casts a shadow. Are you with me? A shadow on the very earth that it's supposed to be reflecting light to. Folks, can I say this? That's the state of the church in 2015 in the United States of America. There's more people that are professing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's more people. Thank you for bringing that up here. Let me get that. So, all right, appreciate it. There are more people. Now please stay with me. Don't miss what I'm about to say, because I'm going to ask you some questions. And you know what? The Bible says, let every man judge himself. Okay? This is what we do. We come, we listen to the Word of God, we look into it as a mirror, and we ask questions, not about the brother or the sister or this family or that. Let's let God deal with us. Okay? Each and every one of us individually. Here's the question that has to be answered. Am I reflecting the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? Or am I helping to block the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? And every once in a while, they have what is called a solar eclipse. And you know what? This moon that was created to rule the darkness, rule the night, and reflect the light is the very thing that is blocking the light. Listen, please, you've got to understand, folks, listen to me. Hardest thing as a preacher to do is knock on doors, try to tell somebody about Jesus and listen to people talk about Christians. Now you say, preacher, they're using excuses. I get that. And you know what? I don't let them off the hook on that. Because I always have the same answer. You know what? You can look at any of us and find fault. Look at Jesus and find some fault. But the honest truth is, you are the only Bible that your neighbors are probably going to read. And here's the truth. Jesus did give us the responsibility to be the lights of the world. And so as much as we can say, yeah, but they shouldn't use that as an excuse, they shouldn't say that, the honest truth is, watch this, this is sad. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of people that end up in hell, not because of the devil, but because of people that say they're saved. Oh, that's heartbreaking. I don't want to be that person. I mean, I don't want to be that person. I'm not saying I never have been. I'm saying I don't want to be. I want people to be able to look at my life and see the reflection of Christ. I don't want to be the Christian that ends up blocking the light of the sun, literally cast a shadow on the world so that they can't see it. Listen, you young people, look up here and listen to me. You get raised in a good Bible preaching church and you go out, and I mean you hit 18, 19 and go stupid in the head and go out and live a wicked life, there's going to be people that end up looking at that and pointing at that and say, you know what? That's what I knew it was. That's what the church is. That's what the Christianity is. They're a bunch of fakes, and they'll turn away from Christ and never get saved. And you'll stand before God with those people's blood on your hands. We better start taking this thing seriously. Wives, husbands, listen to me. Stay married. Are you listening to me? Stay married. Stay in church. All right. Listen, your lost neighbors are watching you. It's the idea, well, I don't have any responsibility. Yes, you do. I'm not hurting anybody by myself. Yes, you are. And if we're not careful, we'd start living in such a way where the world can't see any difference between us and itself, and it causes a solar eclipse. Now watch this. We come around here, and sometimes what will happen is a lunar eclipse, and the sunlight then is trying to get to the one that it's supposed to be reflecting off of. But this eclipse is caused when the world gets between the sun and the moon. And all of a sudden, now you've got what's called a lunar eclipse. And the moon that's supposed to be reflecting the sun's light, the light's not getting it to it because of what? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Come on now. Brother, there's so much worldliness in the church and so much church in the world that you can't even tell the difference anymore. I mean, good night. How different are we supposed to be, preachers? As different as light is from darkness. You know, laugh. You know, mock at old time religion. Say whatever you want to. You're out there. You can say whatever you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. When the church starts becoming so worldly that the world can't see any difference, what happens is the church of all things is causing an eclipse. You walk to the back door of a church and you stand outside of it, and the music you hear playing on there, and you go down the honky tonk and you stand at the back door of the honky tonk and it's the same music, then don't tell me that you're shining bright in this world. You go to a godless rock concert and you stand outside the gate, listen to that music, and walk onto the property of the church and hear it blaring out. Don't tell me. You can lie to yourself all you want to. Don't tell me you're not blocking the light. You're causing an eclipse. And you say, preacher, why do we live separated lives? Why do we try to live a holy life unto God? Because you know what? Come over here, Moon. Our best situation is right here where we can look at the sun and have the sun fully shine upon the moon, and you know what? Have the moon fully reflect to the world. And folks, that's how we become the light of the world. Not because we're trying to replace Jesus. We're trying to reflect Jesus in everything we do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, gentlemen. I do appreciate you helping me out there this morning. Now, what's the purpose of the message, preacher, and what's the conclusion of the message? Look right up here. Give me another 120 seconds, we'll be done. I think that what God wants us to do is figure out where we are standing in relationship to what we've learned. This is the whole message right here. This is what God had for me to give you. Every Christian's got to figure out, where are you? Listen, if you looked at your position right now, and your position to the world, and your position to the Son of God, are you best positioned to reflect the maximum amount of light to this lost and dying world? Have you allowed yourself to get in between the Son and the world? Watch this. Are you living a Christian? I'm not picking on you. Listen, we don't bring people in here to beat them down. We bring them to bring them in here to bring them up. But watch this. Somebody's got to be truthful. And if you're not careful, I'm not talking about brand new Christians here. I'm talking about all of us can get ourselves caddywhopped. Where the next thing you know, our lives are doing more damage to the cause of Christ than they are reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. Watch this. Come on, Christian. How much of the world's got between you and the Savior? Okay, summertime's coming. Amen. Don't tell me people don't worship idols in the United States of America. They pull them behind their pickup trucks almost every Sunday. Fishing boats, campers. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. L-O-R-D, apostrophe S, shows possession. Lord's Day means it's his. Means it's his. Now watch this, what I'm saying is this. How much of the world has got between you and the Savior? The more of the world that's between you and the Savior, the more it dims the light. And so you know what? Get over here in the right position where you can turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. You know what, folks? And fully reflect the light to a world who desperately needs to see that light. Where are you at in relationship to the Son of God, and where are you at in relationship to the world? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this beautiful little series of verses that tie together. Lord, thank you for the precepts of the Bible. Lord, thank you that you start speaking to us in Genesis and you end in Revelation, and all of it is the words of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Thank you that the whole same Holy Spirit that inspired Genesis, inspired the Gospels and so forth. And so, Lord, thank you for the continuity of the Bible. And Lord, how it shines light upon itself. And I pray, Lord, that you would use what we've learned this morning to help us just to check ourselves out. The words that I say, Are they causing people to see the light of the Lord? Or are they dimming that light? The way that I act, my actions, my appearance, in all areas of my life, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, help us to do the best we can every day to properly reflect the light. People are lost. People are walking in darkness. People are without hope. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to be used of you to bring people to the light. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just talk to you for a minute. I asked a question earlier, and I asked whether or not you know for sure that you are saved. I asked you to check the timeline of your life. I asked you, with the Lord's help, to go back and examine and see if there be a place in your life where you truly came under conviction of sin, was drawn by the Father, understood the gospel, understood it was for you, and by simple faith, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I hope that you found that spot. And for most of the people, many of the people in this room, if I asked them to, they could stand up and testify about that day in their lives. But for some, say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I'm searching my life and I can't find out a time when I got saved. I want you to be saved today. But you know what? Everybody around you can want it. Everybody around you can be praying for you that you would. And by the way, you are amongst friends. But you have to make the decision for you. God gave you a free will. You're the one that has to decide. Will I be saved? Will I accept Jesus? Or will I leave here and reject Christ once again? I pray that you'd be saved. Preacher, please pray for me. And I'm going to ask, if this is true of you, to let me know. Please pray for me. I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but God is working on my heart and convicting my heart right now. Preacher, just say a word of prayer. By the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't come get you. I won't call your name, but I will pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Preacher, I'm not saved. Raise your hand so I can pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. I see your hand back there. Preacher, I'm not saved. Don't forget to pray for me. Somebody else, anybody else, just raise your hand. Preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be saved this morning. Pray that I'll make the right decision. I will pray for you. Let me talk to Christians for just a minute. Where are we at in relationship to the world? Where are we at in relationship to the Son of God? Are we helping the world find their way out of darkness? We sing in Sunday school, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Oh, no. Oh, no. Have we slid our light under the bushel? Have we got the world in between us and the Savior? Sadly, are we getting ourselves between the Savior and the world? Preacher, that helped me this morning. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm saved, and I'm a Christian, but I needed to hear that this morning. Would you raise your hand? I needed to hear that. God spoke to my heart about some things. I needed to hear that. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for this one that's raised their hand, dear Lord. they're not saved. Lord, you're working on their heart, and that's always a blessing and an exciting thing. Lord, I pray, dear God, while their heart is tender, and in this moment, dear God, where you're dealing with them, that they would make the step that they need to. During the invitation, they'd leave their seat, come to the nearest aisle, come up here, and allow us to get somebody to take the Bible and show them how to be saved. May this one be saved this morning. Lord, thank you for still using the Word of God to speak to us as your children. I pray, Lord, that you'd make us tender, please, to what you would have for us. Please, God. Lord, don't allow us to rationalize or excuse away, Lord, anything that would dim the light. But help us, please, dear God, the best that we're able, with your help, please, and your Holy Spirit's help, please, to live our life in such a way so that we can help others find their way to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.